Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As our Lord was on his way to Jerusalem to offer himself up as the sacrifice for our sins, he was passing through Jericho. And what a place that was. It was an accursed city. The great Joshua destroyed it. But centuries later, the wicked king Ahab had it rebuilt. And when Ahab rededicated Jericho, he had children sacrificed to the fire god of the pagans, Molech. As Ahab was a miserable creature. Now, by the time Jesus passed through, Jericho had undergone renovations made by another evil king, Herod. Herod turned Jericho into a resort city. He built his winter palace there. So Jericho attracted a lot of upper-class people. It was where the money was. And naturally, since it's where the money was, beggars would line the roads hoping for a handout when the rich passed by. Among those lining the road were the blind. Some may have lost their sight later in life. Others were born that way. Now, back then, there were no leader dogs, no braille, no audio books. There were no schools to train the blind to have useful, productive vocations. There was nothing. They were all condemned to a life of begging for alms. And making matters worse for the blind was the superstitious belief that people became blind because they were sinners and God was punishing them. If they were born blind, they said, it's because their parents had sinned. Now, unlike other beggars who may have been crippled or handicapped through no fault of their own, Bartimaeus had to beg money from people who thought him so sinful that he deserved what he had. And if that wasn't bad enough, Bartimaeus lived in the accursed city of Jericho. And finally, to top it off, as if it couldn't get worse, anyone knowing Bartimaeus by name knew what his name meant. Bar meant son of Timaeus, Bartimaeus. Timaeus, you know what that means? It means unclean, corrupt. He was the son of corruption, the son of uncleanliness. That's what his name meant. You couldn't be in worse straits than poor blind Bartimaeus. Making his way to the cross, Jesus had to pass through Jericho, so he ran the gauntlet of beggars seeking a handout. Bartimaeus, with so many strikes against him, had one thing on his side. He could hear. He didn't lose that. Paul writes in the book of Romans, faith comes through hearing. Faith comes through hearing. And hearing from the word of God. Without a doubt, Bartimaeus heard the word of God. He had saving faith. He knew who Jesus was, and he knew that Jesus was coming. Maybe the other beggars were simply content to hold out their cups. But Bartimaeus repeatedly shouted out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. So yeah, Bartimaeus knew his Bible. The Savior would be from the bloodline of King David, and Bartimaeus knew that. St. Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. And that's exactly what Bartimaeus was doing. He was crying out in prayer, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. His eyes couldn't see, but his ears could certainly hear, and his heart certainly believed. He'd heard about Jesus and his miracles. And he knew that Jesus just had to be the promised Messiah, the Son of David. Who but the Messiah could preach so convincingly and so lovingly call sinners to repentance and faith? This blind beggar's faith caused him to act with certainty and with boldness. He didn't care that the crowd wanted him to stop crying out, but there was one who welcomed those cries, Jesus himself. Jesus wasn't annoyed, he was pleased. Jesus wants everyone, you and me, to pray without ceasing, like that importunate, persistent widow. Our Lord wants us to be persistent in prayer. Now, please note, what got our Lord's attention was that Bartimaeus was crying out for mercy. So stopping, Jesus said to the irritated crowds, call him. Now the attitude of those people changed. So they grabbed a hold of Bartimaeus and said, take heart, get up, he's calling you. Why the change of attitude? Well, I'm sure it wasn't faith. It was more mere curiosity. You know, maybe we'd see a miracle. What's Jesus going to do next? You know, when it comes to unbelievers, our Lord's preaching goes in one ear and out the other. They were interested in miracles, but even miracles will never create faith in a hardened heart. But it didn't stop Jesus from reaching out to those who cry out for mercy in faith. So Jesus asked the beggar, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? You know, our Lord's reply is what you would expect from a servant being summoned by the master. Master, what do you want me to do for you today? Right? That's what a servant says. What do you want me to do for you now? Well, our Lord comes to each of us, not as our master, but as our servant, and to do for us which we cannot do for ourselves. Jesus comes as our servant. He shows us mercy. He forgives us our sins. More than that, he came to take our sins to himself, to take our guilt away. So Jesus showed mercy to Bartimaeus by restoring his sight. What a miracle. Now he could see. And what did he do? He began to follow Jesus. And where was Jesus going? To Jerusalem. Why was Jesus going there? It was so that he could be arrested, tortured, crucified, die, be buried, and then rise from the dead on the third day. This is exactly what Jesus had been preaching, and Bartimaeus may not at the time have had eyes, but he had ears to hear it and a heart to believe it. Few people fathomed what it all meant to follow Jesus. But Bartimaeus believed Jesus and followed his Savior to Jerusalem. At that, we don't know what happened from there. I'd like to think that Bartimaeus used his recovered eyesight to behold his Savior on the cross. Maybe he could have been one of the hundreds who saw the risen Christ alive after his resurrection. But whether he did or didn't is not the point. His ears heard. His heart believed. As St. Paul would later write in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that goes for all of us too. Are we walking by faith? Are we regular in worship? And are we nourishing our faith with God's word and sacrament? Now, Jesus only stopped briefly to heal Bartimaeus, and then he resumed his travels. Through Jericho, at last, he reached Jerusalem. And there our Lord continued to be our servant, the servant of our sins. Now, the other three evangelists record that Jesus healed many other people on the way to the cross. But this account of our Lord healing blind Bartimaeus is the last healing that Mark records in his gospel. I wonder why. I wonder why. Could it be that Bartimaeus had nothing in particular to offer anyone? All he could do was beg and hope to receive? Could it be that Mark is reminding us that we are all just like Bartimaeus? What do we have to offer to God that he needs? Nothing. Consider what Bartimaeus' name means, son of uncleanliness. Isn't that what we all are? Doesn't Isaiah the prophet say that all of our righteous acts are like filthy rags? Maybe that's why Mark chose to stop recording miracles with Bartimaeus. Future generations of believers would not behold Jesus with their eyes either. But we have his word. We have Mark's gospel, but also Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have precious promises recorded in the Old Testament, the scriptures that Bartimaeus knew by heart and that he believed. And before his healing, faith came to Bartimaeus through hearing the word of God, just as it comes to us too. We do not see Jesus in this life, but we hear him. We hear his word in the scriptures. And like Bartimaeus, all we can do is hold out our hand like a blind beggar and receive what Jesus has to offer. Perhaps that's why Mark chose to end the miracles with the healing of Bartimaeus. But Jesus continues to fill our emptiness with forgiveness, salvation, and righteousness. Like Bartimaeus, Jesus bids us to follow him to the cross, to the empty tomb, and to eternity. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts through faith in Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the next hymn.